The Bird Show.
So the miracle that the world was hoping for didn't happen yesterday.
It did not.
So we found out yesterday that submersible, I call it the tourist submarine, mm-hmm. that went down to the Titanic. You guys know the story by now. For a couple of days, it's been down there about an hour and 45 minutes into a two-hour voyage down to the Titanic. You have five people, I believe.
Correct.
Five that were in this.
That's the max I can fit in it.
Submersible. And they have been looking and looking and looking for it. But damn, the thing is 13,000 feet underneath the sea. And they haven't been able to find it. And we were all hoping the last couple of days that some kind of miracle would happen where they'd find it in time before it ran out of oxygen and then bring that thing to the surface. They would get out. We'd all be overjoyed. Found out yesterday that was not the case. It was a tragedy that the thing at some point or another just imploded.
The pressure
from being down that far, and quite frankly, it not being constructed in a responsible way, to be honest with you, which we'll get into here in just one second. But they found the debris field yesterday, and they now know that, or they think that once they lost communication with the submarine, that's when it imploded. If I'm a family member, as I said earlier this morning, for me, I do take some comfort in that. I mean, you're going to mourn. You've just lost some family members for sure. But the fact that they weren't down there for 4 days just contemplating their death or holding on to hope and sitting in the dark and literally having to pee and poop next to each other, that's terrifying to me. The 4 or 5 days is terrifying, thinking my family had to go through that kind of stress. And you almost hate to say it. It almost sounds insensitive, maybe, that the best case scenario is they never knew it was coming. And it happened so fast. All of these scientists and all these experts yesterday saying it happened in a flash. There was no fear. It was just over.
There's a lot of secondary stories coming from this, too. So we know there was a billionaire and his son down there and the CEO of this company and two others. But what I saw yesterday that broke my heart, if it is indeed true, the billionaire's sister, so the 19-year-old who is in that submersible, his aunt, she told I don't remember which news outlet, but she told someone that the 19-year-old did this for his dad for Father's Day, that he was terrified to go down there and didn't want to do it. But his dad wanted to do it for Father's Day, so he did it.
Yeah, I think you're going to hear a lot of stories like this. The stories leading up to why they went. The others are a little bit less blurry. I mean, you've got a guy that's been down there like 60 times, so he had no fear of it. You had the owner and the way he constructed it, even though he felt it was responsible, he had a whole bunch of experts around him saying, dude, you're skipping. You got to pay attention to the rules on this thing. And he was kind of a maverick. Like, he took a lot of pride in breaking some of the rules and putting this thing together. And this is the result here.
And Abby, didn't you tell us a story how the captain had connections to the Titanic?
Oh, yeah. I thought this was really wild. So the captain of this submarine, his wife, if you've seen Titanic, the tragic scene where, you know, it's all coming to an end and the ship is sinking, there's a scene where there's an elderly couple holding each other as the water is rushing in. Well, that elderly couple is actually based on a real life couple who the wife of the CEO is the great, great granddaughter of, which is wild. And it probably explains why they have a fascination with the Titanic.
It's just frustrating, too, when you hear all the reports coming out. What I've seen online is that the window in the submersible was safety rated only to about a quarter of the depth that they were going to. I mean, obviously, they had been down before, but that is a very weak point. And I haven't been able to confirm this, but what's said is that there was a whistleblower saying, hey, this isn't up to standards, and that person was fired. From the team, again, like, do your own research. This is what I'm seeing early come out. So there's a lot of things, but I do also take some solace in the fact that it was so fast. And this is from Dave Corley, who's a former nuclear sub officer. He says that the human brain responds to stimulus in about 25 milliseconds. Your rational response is at best 150 milliseconds. That submarine collapsed in 1 millisecond. They might have heard a couple creaks beforehand. They didn't know it was happening. They felt nothing. It was instantaneous. And so that to me, I hate that it happened, but thank God they didn't live through the horror and the nightmare that we all thought they were.
So the famous director James Cameron, who was the writer and director of Titanic, he had a lot to say about this yesterday. But you also have to remember, he's not coming from a place like, hey, I'm an expert here because I shot a movie about Titanic.
With Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Yeah, because that's what I thought.
Nah, this dude's kind of an expert, man. I mean, he designs these kind of vehicles to go under the water. And he's gone down about 30 different times. So he knows what he's talking about when he was in an interview yesterday saying that they shouldn't have been taking civilians to the Titanic in that vehicle in the first place. And he also goes on to say that, you know, the owner here ignored the signs, which is so irresponsible.
Now, I mean, James Cameron, too, there are images online, and I'll send one to Rebecca to retweet from the Burt Show account of what he set the record for the deepest dive, and he went to Challenger Deep, which is the deepest known point in the ocean in the Mariana Trench at something like 33,000 feet. And the Titanic was about 12,500, 13,000 feet. But to give you a visual, when they went down to the Titanic, the Titan, you could fit five people in this tube, right? When James Cameron dove, his submersible, the cockpit was 43 inches wide, oh, and he had to sit in a fetal position.
Wow.
Because there was so much equipment inside to make sure that he was safe. So that really, like, when you look at the diagrams, puts it a little more in perspective on how technically challenging it is to dive that deep.
I think the world was kind of bracing for this anyway. They were telling us, like, it wasn't going to take one miracle. It was going to take a series of miracles. And if you're the family, I think you're holding on to that. It's like hitting the lottery. Like, well, you're saying there's a chance, right? But in this case, it was worst case scenario. So that story ends here. And the only thing we'll have over the next couple of days, again, is probably more stories about how irresponsible this was and why these guys were on it in the first place.
Yeah. Rest in peace to those passengers and send your thoughts to their families.
The Burt Show.
So Kristen has a birthday this weekend.
Woo!
She is celebrating, but doesn't want her husband or her son around. Sorry, not sorry.
So the mom guilt and the wife guilt started to set in. I had made these plans, I mean, months ago. So my dear friend Molly has a birthday in June as well, literally a week before mine. And so we had done this last year where we go out of town a couple hours and go to like a nice hotel spa and we do some spa treatments. It's just very low key lounge at a pool, right? And we had a blast last year. And so again, at the beginning of the year, we're like, what are we doing this year? Where are we going to go? And so we had decided on a spot, again, just a couple of hours away, a beautiful hotel with a beautiful spa on a lake with a beautiful pool. Like, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to lounge and relax all weekend. And then as we get closer, the mom guilt and the wife guilt sets in. And I'm like, am I a bad mother that I do not want to spend my birthday with my child?
He didn't know.
Am I a bad wife that I don't want to spend my birthday with my husband? And so I started Googling, is it okay to spend time away from your family? I'm not even kidding.
Wow, what did the internet say?
Well, the internet is on my side. At least what I searched. I found what I wanted to find. How about that?
You can always get from the internet the answers that you really want.
Yeah.
It's just the way that you craft the search.
And so I found this article on Medium from Jennifer Halbrick, and it's why you need time away from your family. Five benefits of leaving for you and them. And I'm like, I found my grail, my holy grail of being able to enjoy my birthday guilt-free.
That's the real gift to yourself right there. Yeah. That's the free gift.
The best part is Medium is where anybody can go and self-publish articles. I have published articles on Medium, and I am not an expert at all.
Oh.
Don't let that discredit.
It's still absolutely legitimate.
There's none.
So Jennifer's five benefits. Hey, if anything, Cassie, I at least found one other person that is all about leaving your family. Not permanently. And she goes, your family gets to function without you. It's common for mothers in particular to feel their kids can't survive without them. Maybe it stems from being the sole provider of their nourishment during pregnancy in those early breastfeeding months. When you leave, both you and your family get to see that they can not only survive without you, they can thrive. They can have fun. They can figure things out. And then next she has, you learn to let go of control. which is funny because it's different in our household because Bart's the stay-at-home dad. And so this is when I read this, I'm like, maybe Bart should go for my birthday.
He doesn't want to go, though. You've offered that.
I've tried. I didn't even offer. Like, I booked the trip for him to, like, get away with some friends. And he's like, that's not what makes me happy. So I was like, all right. But you learn to let go of control. And so your significant other, whomever you have the child with, gets to, even though they're not doing things the way you would do them, that's okay. Because there's more than one way to make sure your child survives.
Sure.
You all get practice with separation. Raising kids partly means learning to let them go a little more each time. The first time you leave them with a babysitter, the first day of preschool, the first day of elementary school, it keeps going until you send them off to college. So they help to prepare the kids and you for, you know, having these moments away in the separation. You get the space to solve problems. It can be hard to see creative solutions when we're stuck in our routine. Sometimes, you know, some time miles from home can give us a perspective we need to solve problems. And then lastly, and this is true, you all appreciate one another more. So absence makes the heart grow fonder.
For sure.
So after reading that, I am perfectly okay with Malls and I hitting the road this afternoon after Jimmy goes down for his nap and heading to the lake to spend a weekend doing absolutely nothing except massages and wine.
How do I phrase this? But I think there's an age thing that goes into this also. Like, when you're in your early 20s, I think, and you're coupled or you're married or you have kids or whatever, I think your definition of happiness is everybody being together all the time, right? And I think as you get older, you realize that your happiness isn't defined necessarily all being together all the time. And the person that you're with wants you to be happy. And if you want that balance in your life, I'm not going to say he's sacrificing, but he's certainly willing for you to live your best life.
Yes.
And for you, that's getting away. And that's just an age thing, I think.
I think so, too. And I mean, we've had, like, you know, I've had a lot of birthdays and we've done parties and we've done surprise parties and we've done, like, group trips and stuff like that. And I'm just now at the place, like, literally, the idea of nobody touching me, having my autonomy, laying at a pool, drinking an Aperol spritz, getting a massage, going to a nice dinner and not picking up a Bluey figurine off the floor for the millionth time because my son thinks it's funny to throw things down. I'm so excited. Love you, babe. Thank you so much for watching Jimmy this weekend so Mama can have a birthday by herself.
Enjoy it. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The Bert Show.
All right, we're going to start texting for Taylor here, who is in a very sketchy situation because her best friend wants her to go on summer vacation, which is really, really cool, except the best friend's husband hit on her years ago, and Taylor just doesn't want to spend, like, a week together with this dude in a house together, which makes sense.
Understandably so. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Taylor, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really need your help.
You are welcome. Okay, this is awkward already. So define the relationship here. How long have you known your best friend? And then tell us about the incident with the husband.
Okay, so I've literally been best friends with this girl for our entire lives. Like, we grew up together. We've been through literally every phase of our lives together. And so I never really loved this guy when they first started dating, but she was so happy and had been looking for, like, a relationship for so long. I was, like, you know, did my best to be happy for her. And basically, there was one night we all had, I had dinner over at their house with, like, a couple other friends, and I went into the kitchen, and her husband came too, and he basically made, like, a joke about me spending the night because we had been drinking, so I wouldn't be driving home, but he basically insinuated how he wanted to sleep with me and how he had, like, had dreams of it and thought of it, like, ever since he met me.
Dude was drunk also?
Yes, but, like, not enough to justify what he said. Like, and he, I could tell he still, like, he remembered what happened, like, no doubt.
And I've said, like, a drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts. Like, if he that just gave him the courage to say what he wanted.
Mm-hmm. And since that happened, have you guys all been together in the same room, same house, same bar, whatever?
Yes, we have, because it's like, otherwise I don't really see my best friend very much, but I always make sure we're in a group. Like, I never be alone with him because he just makes me so uncomfortable.
Right. I guess I should double back here. So when he did that, he was all buzzed and he made that hit on you. What was your reaction to him at the time?
Well, at first when he made the joke about me, like, staying the night, I was kind of laughing, like, yeah, I probably will. And then, like, when he said the rest, I felt, like, so caught off guard. I was, like, more in shock and, like, didn't know how to respond. So I kind of just, like, exited the situation as fast as I could.
If the roles were reversed, I'm curious, would you want your best friend to tell you that this happened?
That's a really good question. It's like, I would want her to tell me, but, like, also, I understand, like, it would be so heartbreaking. But, yes, I would want her to tell me.
Would you?
Yeah, I would want him to tell me.
Yeah?
For sure.
I think ignorance is bliss there. That's just like my knee-jerk reaction.
If it happened one time.
One time.
I guess we don't even need to debate that. The truth of the matter is, the facts are, you're just uncomfortable around this dude. So they invite you on this vacation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're having like a bunch of friends going out, like, just for, we kind of used to do this yearly vacation, and so we're having kind of like a reunion of sorts, but like, I just have a weird feeling about it, and I really feel like I don't want to be stuck in any room alone with him, like, ever again.
That makes sense.
Totally. I respect that.
So why not just tell your friend, well, I got plans. Sorry, I got some other things going on.
Well, I feel like I'm not addressing the root of the issue if I do that, because she has noticed I've been more distant, because, you know, it's like I only want to do things with just her. I don't really go over as much. I just feel so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. So it feels like if you don't just tell the truth about this, you're going to have to continue to make excuses over and over again.
Exactly, exactly. And this is like, this trip is kind of like a big deal for like our group. Mm-hmm. So it would be a big deal. Like, it is a big deal me not going.
So our intent here when we come back is to tell her what happened or just avoid the vacation altogether?
Well, that's kind of why I'm calling you guys to ask. I don't know. Definitely to avoid going, but I don't know. Like, I might have to address the lie, but the number one is definitely to get out of the vacation.
Would it be such an a-hole move? No, because this is a friend. You can't do that. Never mind.
What are we going to do? Kill him? Kill him?
No. He's not going to kill anybody.
Taylor, what were you going to do?
I was going to say maybe this just, no, it is such an a-hole move. It's too cryptic. But if you were like, I can't go, and your husband knows why.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's,
hey.
Yeah.
But then
that'll do it.
When I said it in my head, I'm like, nah, that's nasty.
If I'm the husband, I'd rather be killed.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Facts.
All right, Taylor, give us a couple of seconds. When we come back, we will try to figure out a strategy on how to get you out of this, okay?
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, Virtual Texting Tutor next.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% 20% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Bert Show.
All right, so Taylor called us a couple of minutes ago. She's in a really awkward spot, and it's no fault of her own. So there she is, hanging out with her best friend and her best friend's husband. They're all getting their drinks on. They're having a party at their house. And her husband, her best friend's husband, hits on her in a big way. Says she should spend the night. Says he's like been fantasizing about her. Yes, he was buzzed, but that doesn't mean anything. And ever since that, she's just been really awkward around this guy and around her best friend. She tries to avoid the husband, wants to hang out with the best friend. They've invited her on this summer vacation with a whole bunch of different friends, and she feels like it's just getting to a point where she's turned the best friend down so many times that the best friend's like, what did I do? What's going on? So we're trying to debate here. Do we go in with and be honest about what happened and why she's trying to avoid the husband, or do we create some kind of distraction yet again and kick this can down the road? So in the overall scheme of things, Taylor, here, you're in control of this. So what do you think would be the best way to go?
Oh, my goodness. Part of me honestly just feels like I need to tell her what happened because it feels wrong, like I'm holding this from her and I would want to know.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to use a famous Kristen line, which would be, this one is so serious that I would want to do this face-to-face. And I also feel like, I don't know, this is not, I don't even know if this is one I'd want to put in writing.
I feel like it just tone is so lost via text, and this is so sensitive of a topic. I mean, you're talking about delivering information that could potentially ruin a marriage. So I just, and this, if this is a dear friend, she needs to see your face.
All right, let's do this. Taylor, let's pivot for a second.
Pivot.
It's a reference you don't get, is it?
No, it's from Friends.
Okay.
I get it.
Look at you watching on Nickelodeon or something.
TBS.
Is that what it is? Late night? All right, Taylor, let's do this. Rather than text her, why don't we do this for the next couple of minutes? Let's try to come up with a strategy for you to sit her down and tell her what has been going on, rather than do this whole texting thing back and forth, which either may or may not be appropriate. If this is the route that you want to go, let's spend more time doing something productive and figuring out how you can have this conversation with her face to face.
So proud of you.
All right, Taylor. So let's just say you say to her, you know, without saying yes or no, do you think that she, you know, the only text really needs to be sent is like, hey, can we meet up tonight?
Yeah.
Right. And you don't have to do this now.
Yeah.
But you need to set up some kind of date with her, just you and she, one-on-one. And then let's try to figure out exactly what you can say. Okay, you guys are up.
That's perfect. Yeah. I think that's the best call.
And I wouldn't do this in public. See if she can come to your house. You definitely can't do it at her house because obviously her husband's going to be there. And I wouldn't want to receive that information in my home. I feel like you need to have a very neutral, safe location to be able to deliver this message.
Like O'Charlie's. That way, if she wants to stab you to eliminate the competition, there are witnesses.
Ah, there you go.
Yep. Always thinking one step ahead.
I do have really good roles.
Yeah?
Nothing violent ever happens at an O'Charlie's. You'll be fine. No.
You'll win a bet. Not yet.
You'll be the first. What? You just want to handle it with honesty, right?
I would. I mean, if this is my best friend, I would lead with love. You know, just a reminder that this is not your fault. I wish this didn't happen. I love you. However, this is a situation that presented itself, and I would feel remiss if I called myself your true friend and I didn't give you this information of why I truly don't want to go. That's exactly what I would do.
I think
bad things have happened at O'Charlie's. Continue.
You mean like besides salmonella?
Man arrested after fight over baby mama at O'Charlie's.
Ooh.
More details in the fatal O'Charlie's shooting in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Jeez, just when you think there's one safe haven in this world.
Taylor, when you tell your friend, no matter how close you are, I think you also have to be prepared. Her gut reaction may be misplaced and she may blame you out the gate.
Like, what did you do to make him say those things?
Or you must be mistaken.
Yeah.
Because her husband would never do anything like that in her eyes, you know? Somebody came to me with this info about my fiance, I wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's how you have to preface the conversation. Be like, listen, I'm telling you because if I were you, I would want to know. And I have no idea how you're going to receive this information, but all I know is I can tell you my truth of what happened, and that's all I can do.
Yeah, you're so right. I think that's the way to go, and I am prepared for any reaction, honestly, at this point. I just know I need to tell her.
Maybe
and
wear a full football uniform, just a helmet.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even preface with, you may not believe me, blah, blah. I wouldn't do any of that. I would just really try to keep it as short and simple as possible.
And I think you say also, like, I have put off having this conversation over and over and over again because I know how uncomfortable it's going to be. And I've tried to avoid the hurt that I know that this is going to create. And this is why that I haven't been around nearly as much.
And include Mo's line about, I couldn't call myself your true friend if I didn't tell you this, because I thought that was really powerful.
Okay, I will definitely say that.
What, does somewhere deep down in her gut know that her husband is the kind of guy that would do something like this?
No.
That's the thing. I feel like she might. But that, never to me, like, that would be a surprise. Mm-hmm.
Now, something else to pretend, like, I'm just thinking of, like, worst case scenarios, right? So you tell her this, and she does believe you, but she wants to work on her marriage or whatever. If there was a woman in our life that my husband had hit on, but I wanted to preserve the marriage, that woman could no longer be in our life.
Uh-oh.
Would you, if that woman was your friend, though, would you cut her from your life as well?
I would need to take space for a while and figure it out. I'm not going to say it's going to be permanent, but don't get it twisted. It's so unfair that the friendship would be jeopardized because of his actions. Like, you're essentially blaming her for what a man did, and that I'm not about that at all. But for preservation of my relationship, if there was somebody in it that could cause turmoil, I would have to consider cutting off that relationship.
Even though she didn't do anything.
It's not fair. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. You need to be prepared for her to take some space. Because when it comes to your marriage, again, he was wrong and it's his fault. You just may take some punishment for it.
I'm just going to
unjustly
give you,
so.
I'm going to give you a counter to that. That would not affect my friendship.
No.
Mm-mm. No. I think that she's an innocent bystander.
If you found out there was a friend that Tiffany had hit on and wanted to sleep with?
It wouldn't affect my relationship with that friend. No.
Okay.
Nope.
It wouldn't affect mine either. So now we're in the same situation.
Yeah, because if he's going to do it to her in his own home, like, he's probably saying that stuff to other women all over the place. So you can't just, like, bubble wrap him and keep him inside.
I think I would need a little space like Kristen, because seeing her would just remind me of the fact that my husband did that transgression. But I wouldn't cut her off. It might be like, I need a little space for a month or so.
You really are going to have to be at peace with the best thing that can happen in this whole thing is you speaking your honesty. Mm-hmm. You don't know how she's going to react. You don't know how he's going to react. The only thing that can really give you peace of mind is knowing that you really had no option, man. I mean, you could only avoid her so long without her taking it personally. And you're just speaking your truth. The way they handle it is totally out of your control.
Yeah, it is. And he's going to deny it. I think that's a safe bet. I don't see any man being like,
yeah, I said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had
your friend's hot. What are you expecting?
Of course, right.
Maybe they wanted an open relationship and wanted to invite you into the bedroom and he flubbed it. And I forgot to mention she wanted her, too.
That's a best case scenario.
That is a best case scenario.
Let's hope for that.
Yeah, like when this dude denies it like he will, I do think that there's some validity in what Kristen is saying at that point. Because there's no way that you're going to be able to be around them again. And she now may take this out on you because he's denying it so much.
I mean, that's all of the things you guys are saying are totally true. And like, I thought of all the different ways this could go. Our friendship is so important to me. I just really hope that we can like preserve it. We've been best friends since we were little.
Say all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Say all of that exactly the way you just said it. You're sincere. That's all you can do.
I don't think you talked to her. I think you just sent her this segment. I mean, you could tell how painful this is for her to talk about and how she's grappling with it. I mean, there's no better way to break the news than to be like, hey, go ahead and put your extramarital affair issues on the radio. Just want to loop you in with the rest of the country.
There, you could take that route. I wouldn't. But,
yeah. Do you want to be a coward or do you want to be a good friend? I think that's a question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, Taylor, I think just handling it with authenticity, clearly not at O'Charlie's, but maybe Friday's.
Alabama man fights off suspect trying to rob O'Charlie's.
Look at Cracker Barrel real quick.
Okay.
Nothing good happens at Cracker Barrel beyond the dumplings.
They're really great people. They just can't cook a meal.
Oh.
Not good.
Nope.
I avoid Cracker Barrel also.
What about Applebee's?
Nothing bad ever happens at Applebee's.
Oh, get out of here with those happy hour specials and those gigantic beers. All I'm doing is, by the way, Googling violence at insert restaurant here.
Yeah, lots of Applebee's. All right, maybe stay away from every franchise. You just got to go to a mom and pop.
Yes.
All right, Taylor. This is real serious stuff. Let's talk to you next week. Find out how the conversation went, all right?
Thank you guys so much.
All right, good luck. And I am really sorry that you're in this position.
Thank you. Me too.
All right, bye-bye.
Ooh.
Bye.
Violence at TGI Fridays.
It's got to be one here. Hold on.
Oh, 30-person brawl.
Oh, hey.
Breaks out at a TGI Fridays in Connecticut.
Anybody get killed?
I don't think so.
Okay, there you go.
Not too bad.
All right.
You can withstand that.
Don't look up Chili's.
Good old 30-person brawl.
Chili's, another one?
Don't look it up.
No.
That's not good.
Chili's was?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they got great crispy chicken tenders.
Hey, look up DQ.
Oh, okay.
There has got to be
I'm
a fight.
Sliding around ice cream.
Like, the machine's down.
Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen Violence. That's the name of my new band.
Four arrested after incident at Dairy Queen.
Yikes.
Fight breaks out at Dairy Queen. Something else really horrible happened at a Dairy Queen.
Fuddruckers?
I don't think I've ever been inside a Fuddrucker.
I don't think I have either. Maybe that's why there's no violence. Nobody goes.
Brawl breaks out at a Fuddruckers in Stanford.
I got it.
Chick-fil-A.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you think so?
Yeah.
Can we stop?
Kind of long.
Can we stop before we piss off an advertiser?
Just so you know, a Florida man defecated on the floor of a Joe's Crab Shack.
There's no place.
Good luck saving your friendship.
Yeah. Just go to the middle of a field somewhere.
The Bird Show.
Her mom wants to introduce her to like this new love interest post-divorce, but she feels like it's a betrayal to her dad. So how do you handle it? Kristen's got the email.
I do. Before I even start reading the email, I remember those introductions and they were, even though they were lovely people, they were so awkward.
Which ones?
When my parents introduced me to their new love interest.
Oh, yeah.
When my mom introduced me to the man that she was seeing after my dad, when my dad introduced me to the woman he was seeing after my mom. Because my parents divorced later in life. They were married for 22, 23 years and then divorced. So to meet these people, it was, and they were lovely people, but it was just so weird.
And you were how old at the time?
I was 24.
Oh, okay, because I was like 7 or 8.
No.
And never even realized when I was being introduced to like somebody that my mom was doing that that they were actually dating. I just thought it was just like a friend.
Just a friend? No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. I knew what was going on. All right. So the email reads, my parents divorced 2 years ago. It wasn't my favorite chapter of life, but I've tried to stay out of it. They are adults, and so I didn't really feel that I had a say or should be a factor in that decision. It definitely seemed like my mom wanted the divorce more than my dad. Unlike my mom, he has not seemed particularly happy since the split. My mom, however, jumped right into the dating and single life, which is where my problem begins. Recently, she has asked me for some help in her dating life, and I don't know if I should help her. She's interested in the father of a high school friend of mine who divorced several years ago. She asked if he is still single. After I said he was, she asked for my help in arranging a meeting between them. But I'm conflicted. I do want my mom to be happy, and it's not my place to say who she should or should not date. That said, the thought of playing matchmaker feels like a potential betrayal to my dad. Mm. I'm not even sure how my dad would react, or would his opinion even matter in this case. Is it wrong to help my mom pursue a new relationship? If it is a betrayal to my dad, how can I set a boundary without upsetting my mom? Could really use your opinions and advice because I need some from people who are unbiased and don't know anyone involved. Thanks for your time and help, Katrina.
I think this is way easier than you're making it out in your head. At least for me, if you go to your mom or your dad, whoever you're in this predicament with, and just go, you know what? This makes me really feel uncomfortable. I don't want to have to pick sides here. Look, this is not my thing. You're on your own here. That's it.
Well, I don't think anybody wins if she refuses to help her mom out, because regardless of whether or not she makes the introduction for her high school friend's parent, her mom is still going to be out on the scene dating people. So why not use it as an opportunity to like actually help your mom get into another relationship that she obviously seems to want to be in more than she wanted to be in with her father? I think both things can be true. Like, you can feel like it's a betrayal and that can be uncomfortable, but at the end of the day, like, your mom's still dating, so why not help her out?
Because as you get older, you do become more like friends with your parents than when you were a kid, because there's that whole discipline factor, right? And then you become an adult and you figure out that, you know, you're not supposed to poop in the shower. Anyway, so I think I would do it.
Yeah.
I think I would help. I really would. Because, and this is coming from a daddy's girl, right? And like, of course, you don't want it to feel like you don't want it to be a betrayal to your dad, but you're just making it possible for your mom and this person to casually meet. So I don't think I would have an issue with it.
This would be easy for me. I don't think you're wrong either way you decide to go here, but I'm not helping either of my parents move on. I just couldn't do it. Like, no. I'm staying out of the divorce. I'm staying out of anything that has to do with their dating lives. I would wish them both the best, yep. But I'm not helping set my dad up, and I'm not helping set my mom up.
I'm with Mo here, man. I had nothing to do with your divorce. At least that's what you told me. I had nothing to do with the divorce, so don't bring me in now, man. This is between you and dad. I don't want to have to play sides. You are on your own. You're a grown-ass woman. He's a grown-ass man.
Make your own moves.
Make your own moves. I am not going to enable you here.
So nope. You wouldn't be your mom's wingman?
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't help her in any way. I wish her the best. I'm rooting for her.
Yes.
From the stands. Go, mom. Yeah. But no, I'm not involved in the game.
I know your mom. She wouldn't need your help. She'd be just fine.
Yeah, she'd be fine.
Okay, so what, even if it was your dad, like, let's make it same sex. If your dad was
you don't
like,
need the help either. They'll be just fine with
Both of them will be just fine without me. No, I wouldn't help my dad either.
No.
Not at all.
I wouldn't either.
I'm staying twice about it.
Yeah. I'm staying out of the whole thing.
Uh-huh. What if he needed help setting up Tinder?
Nope. Don't know anything about it, Dad. Nothing about it.
What if he needs help logging on to Match.com and getting set up?
Nope.
Really?
Never heard of it, Dad.
What's that?
What is that?
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Elvis Presley's estate is big mad about an upcoming biopic about Elvis and Priscilla. So they're saying it's going to make Graceland look horrific. If the latest Elvis indie flick wasn't enough for you. This one's going to be from A24, and it's going to be more from Priscilla's point of view. It's based off her memoir that came out in 1985. Jacob Elordi from Euphoria is going to play Elvis in it. Kaylee Spaney from Mayor of Easttown is playing Priscilla. And TMZ reported that the Elvis estate is not happy, and it was produced without their permission.
But it came from her book. This was her account.
Yeah.
So who are you really mad at? She came up with the book.
Apparently, Priscilla, one of the officials in charge of the estate, allegedly saw the movie, and they called Sophia's writing and directing horrible, and they said the set designs are horrific. Apparently, it's, quote, not what Graceland looks like.
Okay, so they're not mad about, like, the stories or anything that went down there. They're just mad that it's poor acting, poor directing, and poor set.
It sounds like this is not a direct quote. This was in an article I read from TMZ. Apparently, allegedly, they feel like this is a cash grab on Priscilla's part.
Well, yeah.
Well, of course it is.
she gotta live somehow.
Graceland itself is a cash grab.
It is.
Have you guys gone?
Oh, yeah.
Disappointing, right?
It does not live up to the hype. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, we got the headsets, walked around, went to all the rooms. And you know, of course, he's buried there, so you get to see where he's laid to rest. But it's not as lavish, and they preserved it back, you know, from like the 60s or 70s, what that decor is. And of course, you look at it now and you're just like, wow,
yeah.
We had some bad taste back in the day.
I felt the same way. Like, it's the bigness of Elvis that you're expecting, and then you go there and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe in your mind, it's so built up, but it's just kind of blah.
Yeah, I mean, because he was the biggest pop star of that day, and so you're expecting to walk in and it'd be like a massive mansion, and it's a nice home,
exactly.
Poorly decorated, but a nice home.
And it is not in the best neighborhood, if I remember correctly.
No,
it is in a.
If I recall,
I think it's in like a sketch part of town. But there's a reason why Memphis is up there as far as like one of the most dangerous cities to live in.
I mean, there are a lot of fun things. That's a fun city.
Dangerous.
Don't turn the wrong corner.
Yes. I mean, Beale Street's great.
Yeah.
And there's like some great bars. I think that's where we fed a goat beer, if I remember correctly. Yes. There was a bar that had a goat, and this goat could put away some beer. Because we went when we were in college for a fraternity formal, and they had their formal in Memphis. So we went to Graceland together, and we hit Beale Street together.
Do I have this right? Is that where the Peabody Hotel is, and the ducks go like across the street into the lobby?
Is that every day?
Yes.
That's in Memphis?
That's in Memphis.
It's super fun.
Sounds like it.
It's a trip, man.
Goats must have a really high alcohol tolerance because my brother's fraternity had a frat goat at one point. His name was Frank. It was a really great time. Every time he showed up to Kappa Sig, Frank was there
having
a Bush Light.
Oh, man. That's just awful for the goat to be in a fraternity house mascot. Unspeakable things, I bet.
Someone else that is big mad is Demi Lovato. Demi's newest single is going off about the Roe v. Wade debate. So it's called Swine. And if there is one word to describe this track, it is passionate. Demi says that, I created Swine to amplify the voices of those who advocate for choice and bodily autonomy. I'm gonna play the clip in just a second, but just so you can hear the lyrics, because we had to reverse some of them because there's a lot of swear words. It says, God forbid I want to F whoever the F I want. And if he blanks, I guess I got to be a mother. F what I think. I don't know a thing. The government knows my body. No, it's okay. It's better this way. I'm only a carbon copy. Even if I'm dying, they'll still try to stop me.
That's like a lullaby. Put your ex to
sleep. No, I mean, like that last line, like there's women who are basically on their deathbed and the thing that'll save them is terminating the pregnancy and they won't do it.
And honestly, the tone of the song, I mean, really represents how angry she is.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great that she, I mean, it's her expressing her beliefs in a form of art, and it's definitely very blunt for sure.
Did I read this right a couple of weeks ago? She's like, you know what, you guys, the pronoun thing is too confusing for you guys. I'm going back to she.
She did.
She did, right?
Yeah, she's a she, her again, because the they, them was having to explain it and correct it. And also, she sent on paperwork. It was a nightmare. So she's just opted to go back to she, her.
Yeah, I just say Demi because I'm like, what if she changes her mind tomorrow? I don't want someone to be like, cancel Abby. Yeah. For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
Get it. The Bird Show.
Spontaneous question for you guys, okay? What is the most uncomfortable conversation you ever had to have with your parents?
Oh, God.
Oh. I remember like it was yesterday.
All right, what was it?
So I was in middle school, and I was, my best friend's backyard connected to my backyard, so we could hop a fence to each other's houses, and I was sitting on her back deck with a dictionary. Because a rumor had circulated about Jonathan Knight from New Kids on the Block that his stomach had to have been pumped to get a certain substance out.
Really?
We did, yes.
That story was original of like Rod Stewart.
Well, it also happened to Jonathan Knight.
Okay.
But we didn't know what that word meant. So we looked up that word in the dictionary.
Which word?
Semen.
Okay.
So my mom... like peeks over to holler at me to come home, and we slam the dictionary shut. I mean, and it was like a massive thud because those things were like ginormous back in the day. And she's like, "What are you doing?" And we're both like, "Nothing." So I had to go up and explain to my mother what I was looking for in the dictionary, why I was looking it up. And that's when we had the birds and the bees dog.
Okay. That's a difficult one. Not as difficult as the one Katie had yet though. Okay. Mo, yours?
One that comes to mind was when I was a kid, I used to play like on a Nerf basketball set with one of my friends all of the time, and we broke the kitchen window. So when my mom got home, I had to explain to her why the big window in front of the house no longer had any glass there at all.
Okay. Not good. Not as bad as Katie having to talk to her mom and her aunt about like, "Hey, where'd you put my adult toys?"
Yeah, I feel like any uncomfortable conversation with your parents has to do with sex. Mm-hmm. Like when my parents gave me the talk, it was when all those Jamie Lynn Spears headlines were coming out about Zoe 101 getting canceled and she's pregnant. I just remember her looking at me and going, "Abby, do you know how Jamie Lynn Spears got pregnant?" And then I locked myself in the bathroom. So that was a bad day for both my TV watching enjoyment and my comfort with my parents.
I should have known that the reaction wasn't going to be nearly as bad as I had it in my head with this one, but I got caught with my girlfriend in high school by her mom while we were in the shower together. Yeah, that was pretty bad. That wasn't the uncomfortable part because I just slithered out of their house, out of the back door. Having to tell my dad, though, like, "You may be getting a call later." Now, my dad was a total and complete pig. I should have known that. Yeah, high-fived me. It wasn't uncomfortable at all. You're like, "Good job, son. No chest bump."
Way to go.
But I thought it was going to be absolutely awful. None of these as bad as the conversation you had to have with your aunt and your mom. You want to reset this?
Yes. So my mom is in town, and my aunt came into town to visit as well. So it was a full house. And when I decided to leave said house, I don't know what possessed my aunt to rearrange my office closet. And when she decided to go through and rearrange my office closet after I told her, "Don't go in that closet," I noticed that some of my toys were missing.
Mm-hmm. Toys that were, you had purposely placed in an American Eagle bag.
Yes.
Is there anything more American than what's in that bag?
A reusable American Eagle tote had all of your fun toys in it.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to address it and ask, you know, "Hey guys, where's my toys at and why are they missing?" Right? Well, thankfully, shout out to my mom. She had put them in a separate bag. So she was like, "Hey, Katie, here's a bag that I think you should just go through."
Oh, you got quite. Yeah, I think you got the same question I do.
Yes.
Did she just take bag and put in another bag, or did she individually take toy out and put in another bag?
I have no clue. I just know that in my room, it was a whole different bag that had clothes on top of it. Like some clothes. And my mom's like, "Hey," she looks at me, winks and says, "I think you need to go through this bag."
So she, no. Like, I am picturing this. Her in your office, your aunt and her are cleaning out the closet. They find the American Eagle bag. Your mother had to individually remove each of those items and place it in the new bag. And why the new bag?
I didn't even ask those questions. I had no clue because I was like, "Okay, what do I need to go through this bag for?" Right? But when I went through it, I realized that she had basically put my toys at the bottom and had the clothes on top, and she had secretly like moved it so my aunt didn't see.
Oh, so your mom was the one that found them in the closet, hid them from your aunt.
But the real issue here is what Kristen and I both thought of. Like, did she just take the American Eagle bag, see what was in it, and then put the bag in another bag? Or did she individually take it out like one of those claw type things at Dave and Buster's and put in another bag?
Yeah, it wasn't in their original bag. So this is a whole new bag. So she... She probably
took them out individually, one by one.
Your mother touched them.
She could have waterfalled it, like just
dumped them out. Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is I was
happy. She got those cleaning gloves on.
You can't use those anymore.
No, wait.
You can't use those. Your mama touched them.
But they're in like a box, right? Are they in?
Yeah, but once mom touches them, the sexy comes off of them.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You can't. After your mama touched the box, you can't use it?
They're cursed.
It's not the box.
You'll never be able to get off again. They're cursed.
If she just had her hands on the bag, that's one thing.
Yes.
But she... when she touched, her hands touched the individual toys. She didn't know it, but the sexiness went right off of the toys.
Y'all acting like it's some like gold in some tomb in Egypt, and you cracked open the coffin, and now there's a curse.
It's, right. It's like when you touch an elf at Christmas, it loses its magic.
I know Katie ain't rung that bell all year. Don't take this from her, man.
I don't even have to worry about any of this anymore because they're actually in the trash. What? This is what I was trying to tell y'all. Okay. So my mom, you know, put them to the side for me. I put them in my actual closet, right? But days later, my aunt went through my actual closet.
No, she did not.
Yes, there's another layer, y'all. She rearranged my whole closet, and she actually physically threw those away on trash day.
No, she did not.
Yes, she did.
What?
Oh, my God. Man. The boundaries that she crossed.
Music down, Tommy. No, music down. All right. Did you confront your aunt? I know it's her house that you are living in, but she can't go into your room, into your closet, and take your private personal things and throw them away.
Go in her suitcase and throw some of her stuff away and see what happens.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to be out of home.
She intentionally did it on a day she knew I wasn't going to come home until later.
Oh, damn. And now remember, for those of you that don't know, this is aunt's home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So she may just feel like, hey, it's my home.
But she doesn't live there most of the time.
Yeah. She owns the home, but Katie lives there, but she doesn't live there full time. She's just visiting.
Yeah. But she rearranges my closet. That's a whole different level. So my mom is like, I'm sorry I couldn't stop her. I was working. I didn't know what she was doing. And I lost it.
You did?
Oh, I lost it. I was like, Mom, what do you mean? I'm like yelling. So my aunt comes in the room.
And then finally crossed the line.
Yeah, they did. That was the last strike. So my aunt comes in the room. She's like, whoa, what's going on here? I was like, you're what's going on.
You're the problem.
And then I'm just going off. And then she's looking at me. Like, I know you're not talking to me like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I put on my calm, stern voice that my mom would put on when I was in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, listen, I am losing my mind in this house. And there needs to be boundaries. What makes you think that you can go in my closet and go through all of this?
Yep.
Preach!
Uh-huh. And that's where I started telling her all this in this calm tone now. Because I'm like, we have to have boundaries. I don't care. This is your house. That is my stuff.
What and motel then, did you stay at that night?
What'd she say?
I still stayed in that house. She got real quiet.
Ooh.
And then she was like, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is she going to pay to replace them?
I don't even care about
you
that.
You better invoice her. You better send her a Venmo request, Cash App, something. That stuff is not cheap.
It is very expensive. And Monday morning, we start Katie's GoFundMe.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.